This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Matthew Whitney Harrington, Camp Hill Hudson Community Dinner Return. Come one, come all. Community Dinner is back at Camp Hill Hudson on Tuesday, September 5th at 5:30 p.m. in evening time at our Solaris building at 360 Warren Street, Hudson, New York. Come experience community meal, new people, and old friends over a fresh prepared meal with lovely vegetables meal by local volunteers. We'd be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I'm from Manhattan.
I'm Lily, and I'm from Long Island.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We're often joined by some other friends, Georgia and Claire and Fatia, but they couldn't be here today. But we're happy to have Jada and Lily with us today. And this is Lily's first time on Bound by Books, so we're excited to welcome her to the Bound by Books world.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. And I met Lily very briefly a couple weeks ago as she was wrapping up the Crafting for Money program at the library. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that program and what you
mean? So this program was run by Tracy, and we went to events like Waterfront Wednesdays and the DJ party that we had, and all of us came together. For the first couple of days, we had crafts that we all could make, and we could order crafts, and we all made them, and we were able to sell them, and we made a fair lot of money.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I would have loved that as a kid.
It was very fun.
I loved making crafts in general as a kid, but I don't think I ever sold crafts. Can't remember. I sold a lot of things as a kid, but I don't think I ever made crafts and sold them.
I feel like it's a very original idea.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I think the first time that the program was run, there were different artists that came in and taught certain crafts. And this time it seemed like it sort of developed around different crafts that you all were specifically interested in making, so that you were able to explore certain crafts that met your interests more specifically.
We definitely got to explore anything that we wanted to make. And it definitely unleashed a lot of creativity.
That's cool. Y'all made a lot of really interesting looking stuff too. I saw some of it in person and some of it in pictures, and it all looked very cool.
Thank you.
I wish I had been able to make it to the Waterfront Wednesday where you all sold things. I heard it was really nice.
It was, and it wasn't even windy at all.
Well, that's good. You don't want your crafts to blow away. That's when it helps to make crafts like paperweights and heavy candles.
We did have a couple people make candles.
Those look cool.
Yeah.
I did like DIY candles when I was a teen, where I would take little stubs of candles, so like things that had been used partially, and I would light the candle and then just let it drip into a cup that had a wick in it. So it'd be like layers of different kinds of candles. And it was sort of like this meditative, like drip, drip, drip of the wax. So I'd often do that while I was talking to a friend on the phone or listening to music. I would just be like, drip, 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 drip. The slowest candle making process ever. But they were fun. They weren't the coolest, but they were fun.
They must have looked really cool too, because like they different layers. And especially if you had like ones with like, I know we made some with like rose petals. So that would look really cool.
Mm-hmm. I think what would have made mine better was if I had like a better glass that I was like dripping it into. I think I just used like little plastic cups or something.
Those could melt, yeah.
They didn't, but because they could have.
They didn't melt.
Yeah. But anyways, enough about candles. Let's talk about books, because that's what our show's about. Although you could listen to an audiobook while making your slow drip candle, just saying. That's what I would probably do today. Yeah, why don't we start with one of you? How about Jada? What did you want to share today?
I just started a new school.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was homeschooled, but I just didn't continue that because Mom wanted me to socialize and make friends. And who needs that when you have computers? Just joking. But anyway, the work was kind of easy for me. Like, the hardest question there was how to divide 110 by 2, like, during the math problems and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did all the problems, and I just sat there and read for most of the day, so it wasn't too bad.
What did you read?
I have this book that, it's somewhere, I forgot. It was written by Chris Hadfield, the NASA guy who's been to space a bunch of times, and it's talking about, you know, life in space and stuff. So I think it's very interesting.
Did it make you want to go to space? Or did you already want to go to space?
No way. No, thank you. And he said, and he wrote in his book, like, the ratio of the time you're training to the time you go is many months of train is many months to one day. So like many months of training, one day in space is the ratio.
But days in space
for many millions of, for like $4 million would be able to go to space for a little vacation.
I don't think I need to go to space. I like it here. I like this part of space, the Earth part. It's enough here to explore. I don't need to go out there.
And in space, like sometimes if you only go for a day in space, you could be gone for like a couple months in Earth's time. And some, because like their atmospheres.
I think there were two things that made me like be like, space is, I don't need it. One was when I was a kid, there was the Challenger disaster. And it was like really big news where I grew up because I grew up in New Hampshire and there was a teacher from New Hampshire that was on board when the catastrophe happened. So that was one thing. And then also, less seriously, eating astronaut ice cream. I was like, if this is what like ice cream tastes like in space, what is like not as good food taste like in space? I really didn't like astronaut ice cream.
Astronaut ice cream was really good.
That's what everyone says, but I was like, the Earth ice cream is way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, now that I remember it, it sort of just tasted like a marshmallow.
Marshmallows aren't bad.
Yeah. Except for those, like, colored ones that they're, like, the ones that they give you on Easter, they sometimes, when then you leave them out, ugh, they come all hard and stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, I still find it interesting learning about people that go to space and what they explore. And, like, I like reading sci-fi and stuff like that, but I don't need to go to space. I'm glad you weren't influenced, Jada. Don't let them get you. We want you on Earth.
I feel like all the like the series of books where they tell you like this is Helen Keller and this is like the president, I feel like those can be really interesting to read about, though. You know, like you get pulled in. I read like 20 different Helen Keller books in one day.
Wow, that's a lot of Helen Keller.
Yeah, it paid off. I had a essay in school and we had to pick a character and I picked Helen Keller and I knew everything about her already.
Cool. Dana, did you have any other books you wanted to talk about, or was that it for today?
Pretty much it. The rest of the time I read this book that I already read. It's one of the Fairy Beyond Her Unicorn series. I like that a lot for some reason.
I know that series.
Did you say Phoebe?
All the books.
Yeah.
Phoebe and her unicorn?
Uh-huh. Janison. I think that's right. Let me double check.
Those are very popular.
The book that has the cover ripped off, Dana or Dana Simpson. Yeah, that's the name.
It's a pretty good series. I love it a lot, but I read all the books already. Like, once you love a series, you just keep reading and reading, and then you realize you read it all.
Especially when it's a graphic novel series, it's a lot easier to just sail through them.
In my opinion, I love graphic novels more than anything. And, like, the pictures that they draw, it just, like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're big fans here at Bound by Books. Graphic novels. I have one I could share.
Ooh, can I see?
Yeah. It is called Two Tribes, and it's by Emily Bowen Cohen. It's a cool name.
It rhymes.
I wonder if it actually rhymes or if I'm... If it's like a slight Bowen different pronunciation.
Bowen and Cohen.
And
yeah, that's how it's pronounced.
This is I would say it's a middle grade graphic novel, but it could also be good for teens. It's not a memoir, but it's like inspired by the author's life. And this is her debut graphic novel. And it explores the identity of a young woman named Mia, who is living with her mom and stepfather, and their family is Jewish, but her birth father is Muskogee, a Native American Muskogee, and lives in Oklahoma with his new wife and two kids. And Mia has just had their bat mitzvah, so they're feeling connected to their Jewish identity, and they just got all of these presents and stuff, but they're missing connection with their Muskogee identity and with their dad. But her dad and mom had a not so great relationship, and her mom isn't fond of her father and is hesitant to let them interact. And so Mia's scared to tell her mom that she wants to see her dad. So instead she comes up with an idea to use her bat mitzvah money to run off secretly to Oklahoma from, I think they live in Los Angeles. I think they live in California, but to go many, many, many miles away to visit her dad. And she doesn't just like run away. She like comes up with the story, like she's going to be at this Jewish camp so that her mom doesn't worry about her, but she's still lying to her mother and crossing state lines in the process. And then also lying to her dad and her grandmother on the Muskogee side, because they think that the mom knows where she is and is okay with this. But of course, eventually that will catch up with her. But in the meantime, she has some nice moments connecting with her family, her extended family, including cousins, going to a powwow, learning a bit more about her culture that she'd really been missing. And it's an interesting book because it really does a good job of showing a person that has these two different cultures that are rich in various ways, and how there's some connecting elements, but how important it is to be connected with your various identities and your family. And it's a really nice book. I'd be curious to read more from her.
Did she have enough money to go home?
I believe she probably did.
That's good, because money is very important today. Like, hey, I need to get home because I'm going to be late for dinner. Where's the money? Like, you're not going to be able to ride a bus or somewhere or whatever to, like, for example, if I was trying to say, hey, I need to get this flight, but I don't have any tickets and I don't have any money, they'd look at me like I was crazy. So good, important thing to have money. Also enough so that you can buy gumballs and ice cream every day.
Yeah, you gotta have the road snacks too. So,
yep.
For that trip. But yeah, I think it's unfortunate that she felt that she had to lie to make this trip happen. And it's good that she was able to like make it there safely. But yeah, I thought it was a really nice story. The artwork is not my favorite, I'll be honest, but it's not bad. I read the whole book. It didn't keep me from reading it. But I definitely have seen artwork in graphic novels that I've liked more. That's also her debut, so maybe that will become refined moving down through the years. But yeah, so that is called Two Tribes by Emily Bowen Cohen, and it's a middle grade graphic novel. Very cool.
That sounds like a really good book.
That was great. Did you want to talk about a book, Lily?
Yes.
Four books?
So this summer, I went to my library. So I live, when I live upstate for the summer, I go to the Athens Library, and I was just walking around, and then I stumbled upon the teen section, which I didn't know existed somehow, and I found a book called Heartstopper. And then when I went home, I read it, and I realized that it was the best book I had ever read. It was literally amazing. Like, it was the right amount of, like, people, like, building friendships, having fun. Like, it was the right balance of everything. The artwork was amazing, everything about it. And then I went to the library, and I looked for the second one. They didn't have it. So I put in a request for that. I read that. It was also amazing. And then from there on, I got hooked on it. And I read the entire series, which is about 7 books, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I can't remember how many. I think there's, are there that many? I thought there were maybe 4 out, and there's a 5th coming. And then there's like yearbook one.
Yeah.
And then there's some novels as well that aren't graphic novels.
Yeah, I did not read those. I borrowed them online on Libby, which like some libraries do, not all of them. And then I was like, wait, this isn't a graphic novel. I tried reading it, but then it was like, it just doesn't have the same feeling, you know? I feel like graphic novels have like a warm and fuzzy feeling, and like they're easier to read in some way, even though they might have the same amount of words and the same amount of like context, just more pages.
Yeah, it's a different reading experience for sure.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting that the background of Heartstopper was that there was a book written about, is it Charlie's sister, Tori? I think it's Charlie has, Charlie's sister, Tori. So there was a book about Tori, and in that book, there were the characters of Charlie and Nick. And I guess she decided to develop their characters and like follow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they were kind of side characters in her story. And then she became the side character.
I especially loved the one when they went to France.
I haven't read that yet. I've only read the first one.
No spoilers.
Yeah. And then I want to, I started watching the series, but it seems like I've maybe caught up to where I am in the book. So I want to, mm-hmm. I might read book two before I continue with the series.
It's only on Netflix. And that's my mm-hmm. one pet peeve, because I have Hulu and Disney Plus, like pretty much, and then like the free video ones, but I don't have Netflix. And I love Netflix, don't get me wrong, but everything's on there that I want to watch, and I don't have Netflix.
Maybe for a gift sometime, you can have a month of Netflix, just one month, and you watch it all, just binge for a month, and then cancel.
Yep. But I have seen like little snippets of that, and it looked pretty good. What happened with Nick?
I don't know, because I have only watched.
He looks completely different. He's not even blonde anymore.
Huh? I'd have to check. One thing I like that they included in the show from the comics is that there's little like sparkles and stuff like.
Oh yeah,
uh-huh. You know how there's like little stars or hearts or flowers that show up. Like they incorporated that
for like the emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like they look at each other, little hearts. Like,
yeah. So they incorporated that into the series where there's like animations overlying the live action part, which I thought was cool. Nice little nod to the graphic novel. Yeah, that's cool. Glad you found a series that you love. I have a couple other books I could mention that I've not read yet, but they just came in at the library today. I haven't processed them yet, but they will be on the shelves soon. And they're both ones that I'm really excited to read. One is a graphic novel and one is a novel with a lot of illustrations and some graphic novel elements. So the one that's a graphic novel is called Ghost Book by Remy Lay. And I've read other books by them that I really liked. I really like their art style. And I'll read the description for this one because I have not read it yet. So it's Ghost Book. 12 years ago, the boy and the girl lived, but one was supposed to die. Oh, I think I mentioned this on a recent show as one that was coming out that I wanted to read. But it's here now in my hands. Julie Chen sees ghosts, but her dad insists they aren't real. So she pretends they don't exist, which is incredibly difficult now as it's Hungry Ghost Month, when the gates of the underworld open and dangerous ghosts run amok in the living world. When July saves a boy ghost from being devoured by a hungry ghost, he becomes her first ever friend. Except William is not a ghost. He's a wandering soul wavering between life and death. As the new friends embark on an adventure to return William to his body, they unearth a ghastly truth. For William to live, July must die. No!
When will that book be available? Oh my god.
That's rough.
When will that book be available? I want to read that now.
Look how cool the pictures look. Our radio listeners can't see them, but I love this artist's style. It's very colorful and...
I would say, screw you, William.
Sorry, William.
You know, we're not best friends yet.
I'm more corporeal than you. I get to stay.
Also, like, I live and you're already dead, so yep.
Yep. Well, technically William is not dead.
Pretty much dead.
Yeah.
What do they say? William is a wandering soul?
Pretty much dead, like I said.
Wandering soul.
He has nothing to look forward to in life. Dead. You know?
That is hard. You just make a new friend and then you have to, wanting to choose them. You're committed to being like, I want to like figure out how to make you come back to your body or whatever. And then you find out that it's not that simple.
He can't die.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. I'll have to read to find out.
Definitely.
How will it be resolved? Who knows? So then the other book that I wanted to highlight is the new Stunt Boy book. I don't know if either of you have read Stunt Boy. It's by Jason Reynolds with drawings by Raoul III. Both of whom I think are the coolest. And this one's called Stunt Boy in Between Time. The first one was called Stunt Boy in the Meantime, I believe.
I read the first one.
It was so good.
I want to get the second one.
So this is it's a novel, but it has like, if you're somebody that likes graphic novels, I think you would still love this, even though it's not a graphic novel, because it has like a lot of pictures and their comic style. Mm-hmm. Woo. And Raoul III's artwork is super cool. He also does, he does graphic novels as well. And then he's had a lot of picture books that I've really loved too. So I don't actually know anything about this book aside from the fact that it's a sequel to Stump Boy in the Meantime, which was like the best book ever. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was awesome. So I'll read the description on this one. Stunt Boy is back, or friend. Depends on if his super friends, Zola and Herbert, the worst who is now Herbert the okay, are running faster than him or not. But they're running, that's for sure. Up and down and in and out of their apartment building. Ding dang, elevator is broken. And wait a minute, back in. Is that an empty apartment? As in a perfect home base from where three superheroes can save the iguanas, trick the bullies, and not have to deal with the frets? Think so. Just needs a little spice. A little personalizing. Zola has three awesome markers. Or do the markers mark them?
That's pretty fun. Markers that mark things.
Whee! But it sounds like this, like the first one, will be largely set in their apartment complex. But it's just like, I feel like this book is like super high paced. So someone that needs a lot of stuff going on, like in their books, like a lot of dialogue, but also a lot of action and quirky, funny stuff. Lots of cool characters. Plus the illustrations will really like this. And I think this is one that you definitely want to have a physical copy so you can check out their illustrations. But if the audiobook is as good as the first audiobook, I listened to the first one and it was also really good. Like they did a really good job like incorporating sound effects and like the reader was really great. But I actually, for the first one, listened to it, but then made sure to look at all the pictures because they were so cool. But they've got really cool stuff going on in here. I like that picture. Iguana, get out of here. Or Iguana, get out of here. I think that's what it's supposed to be. But yeah, so that's Stump Boy in Between Time by Jason Reynolds with drawings by Roll the Third. And then the other one was Ghost Book by Remy Lay. And they are both out as we speak. Place your holds. Get your books. Read them all.
I don't think they have too many books.
Yeah. Do you?
No.
I could open a whole library with all the books I own.
I have a lot of books too, but I don't think I have too many. And actually, I got rid of some books this year. I donated some books to the library book sale that I didn't need anymore. And now I have extra space. So, also, I think my husband got some more bookshelves and I think he stole some books from down here. So that's probably why we also have some space. So I have room.
Most of the books I get are from Give a Book, Take a Books, which are very underrated. They're amazing. Like, you could find some really good books there.
Like little free libraries?
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. They could be called little free libraries or Give a Book, Take a Book.
Yeah. They sometimes have really great stuff in them, especially the ones here in Hudson and in Greenport. Sometimes there's really great books in them.
I actually realized that I didn't go to any Give a Book, Take a Books when I was upstate.
Next time, something to look forward to.
Yep.
I always love them, but I don't usually have any books on hand that I can give, so I usually just take.
Yeah, same. Usually
I
it's like
people are okay with that.
Take a book. I see a book, I take a book.
It's take a book, take a book for me.
I think most people that run those want people to just have access to books, and they're kind of like, someday somebody's going to give two books and take one, or give two and not take any, and it'll all even out in the end. I think as long as you're not like emptying it, people are okay with you taking a book or two.
I mean, they have it because those are the books that they don't want to read. They just want to give to the community also. So like, just don't rob it.
Yeah.
And sometimes people put like CDs and stuff in there. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out, I'm trying to balance, like, I borrow a lot of books from the library, and I'm trying to balance reading the ones that I check out, as well as the audiobooks that I borrow, and some of the preview copies that I get, with reading the books that have been on my shelves for years that I definitely want to read, but I just don't get around to, especially some of the classics that have been on my to-read list for a long time. But it's nice being surrounded by books. It's good having options. I never want to run out of things to read. But anyways, on that note, we should probably say goodbye so that we can go read all our books. But it was really great chatting with you all. I want to thank our listeners out there for listening. We hope everyone has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back this time next week to talk about some more books. Yay. Until then, happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
turn the world on with a smile.